Father, we open this precious Word of God, and we ask for the anointing of the Spirit of God to preach what we've studied. And dear Lord, I pray you bless people. May they never come in these doors without leaving, since it's been good to be in the house of God. May there be something they would receive in their soul to grow thereby, not just for entertainment, but we thank thee for good music. We thank thee for the good atmosphere. But Lord, we also thank you for the Word of God. Everything we know about you, everything we know about what we should be doing, everything we know about our nation, dear Father, we know it best through the eyes of God, through his precious Word. And help us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bible, first of all, and turn with me to Psalms 9, all the way in the Old Testament. Psalms verse 9, and I'm going to read down about verse 17. Verse 9 and verse 17. David says, the wicked shall be turned unto hell. Now, by the way, I know that was written, you know, many, many years ago, certainly more than 2,000 years ago, maybe 3,000 years ago, but it's just as real today as it was then. And we live in an age today where people say, no, this is, we live a time now, and, you know, we're a little bit more advanced. You heard us say a lot of times, and hear us say many more times, because that's the attitude of the world today. We're a little more advanced, so therefore God is not the God as we see years ago, wrath and hell and things like that. But here, David said, inspired by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit, the wicked shall be turned into hell. And then, by the way, the last phrase of that says, in all the nations, notice in the plural, in all the nations that forget God. Now, that also means not only Israel, but any other nation, including America. You hear what I say? Including America. God says in his Word that the wicked shall be turned to hell. And by the way, notice, they shall be. The only thing to deliver them the age of grace is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he also says, and all nations that forget God. So they shall be also, as he said, turned into hell. Now, if you will, look in 1 Samuel with me. 1 Samuel, back in towards Genesis a little ways, down about chapter 8. And 1 Samuel, chapter 8, and down about verse 18. Let me give you some information here. Now, here, God has brought Israel to the land. They have had God inserted to them all they need to know about the law, the Levitical system, the political system, Israel. But now they come to the place, they're saying, that they want to be like other nations. And to be like other nations, they want a king. This whole chapter, I don't have time to go through this, they ask for a king. And God goes to Samuel and says, you tell them, if they want a king, they reject me, I'll give them one. But I want you to tell them what a king's going to do. And the next verse is from chapter 1, 7 down a few verses. It said, Samuel prayed unto the Lord. Verse 7 said, Samuel went before the Lord, and he's puzzled. He's heard over this, and God tells him, he said, they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. The fact they want the king to be like other nations, they rejected me that I should reign over them. And then he said in verse 9, now therefore hearken to their voice. How about yet protest Solomon to them? He said, Samuel, you listen to what they say, and you do what they say, but you tell them a protest what's going to happen when that takes place. They want to be like other nations, they'd be like other nations, but it won't be like under God. It's always better to be under God, ladies and gentlemen. And so he said, he tells them then, he said, how about protest Solomon to them and show them the manner of the king they shall reign over them. And Samuel told the words in verse 10 of the Lord and to the people, and they, people that asked of a king. Verse 11, and he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself chariot, for his chariots and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before the chariots. He names a whole lot of things that's going to happen when they get this king. He said, when you get it, you're not going to like it, compared to what God has done for them to get them into the land, deliver them from the land of Egypt. And I don't have time for all of this, which today, read this, and you'll see when we get down to verse 18. And he said, not only that, but he'll take 17, he'll take 10th of your sheep, and you shall be his servants. And he lays out all the vengeance. You think you're going to have things, but he's going to be taking things. He'll take things before you take things. Kind of like taxes, isn't it? Amen. In verse 18, he said, "And ye shall cry out in that day." You have your king. You want your king? You have your king. But you're going to come a time, you're going to cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. He said, "I'm going to, hey, you can have a king if you want that. Hey, I'll give it to you. But I'll tell you this, there a day will come, you'll cry out to me because you got your king, and I'm not going to hear you." Why? Because it's a direct rejection of God himself. Now, if you look with me also in Isaiah 59, and we look down at verse 1 through 4. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not short that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God." He's talking to Israel now. By the way, if it happened to Israel, it happened to any other nation. Amen. 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 It will happen to any other nation. Agree with me now, or if not, I'll preach all afternoon. You get up and leave, I know. But I want you to notice, though, what God says to Israel don't just mean just to Israel, all the other nations go free. Notice what he says. "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Boy, I'm afraid a lot of praying in this nation today has been praying to a God that won't hear. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if you anything about a Christian, you know this nation is farther from God than it's ever been. It's ever been. "And your hands are divided." He said, "But," he said, verse 2, "but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins, and have hid his face so that you will not hear. Before your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongues have muttered pervertness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleaded for truth. They trust in vanity, speak lies, they conceive mischief, and bring forth iniquity. They talk the language of truth, but there's truth not behind that." Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to take these few verses of Scripture and talk about this subject today. Where is America spiritual? Where is America spiritually? What is her standard today different than years ago? I read where there was a businessman talking to Mark Twain a few years ago, and he told he was a good friend to Mark Twain, and he said one day, "Mark," he said, "you know, before I die, I want to go and take a pilgrimage trip to the Holy Land, and I want to climb up on Mount Sinai, and I'm going to take the Bible, and I'm going to sit on top of that mountain, and I'm going to read the Ten Commandments out loud, just as loud as I can." And Mark was very quiet for a minute, and he said, "You know, sir, I've got something better than that." He said, "What can be better than that?" He said, "Why not just stay home in Baltimore and keep them?" You know what? You'd be surprised what doing what God says do would do for a nation, for a group of people. I read even Abraham Lincoln and George Washington probably was one of the two of the best presidents we had. We've had some good ones, but I guess you go back in history and see. Seen a story recently. I'm amazed at some people, you not only know the names, that lost everything they had when this nation fought for its independence. They give everything. They died. They were rich, rich people, and they died in poverty because of fighting for this nation. They put everything in. I just said a story where George Washington needed something like, $400,000 or something for his army, and they didn't have the money. And they called a meeting, and people put everything there, the property, everything else up to get him to raise that money so he could get what he needed, and they won the battle, and from that particular battle, the war changed. But some of the people died in poverty. I wonder how many people in America today would do something like that. Not too many, but I'll tell you. But anyhow, Abraham Lincoln tells a story about in the Civil War. He said, during the Civil War, a private sent him a letter, and in that letter it said this, "Dear Mr. President, I have been in this service for 18 months. I have not received 1 cent of money." He said, "I desire furlough for 15 days so I can go back to my homeland or back to my home and move my family to the poorhouse." And you know what? Lincoln stamped okay approval. That literally happened years ago. Well, what I'm talking about, what about America today? We got people who have done some great things to bring us where we are, and we got some people who have died for the cause of this country. I don't believe they died for it to go the way it's going. I just don't. They gave their life, though, that we might have the freedom. There was a first grade teacher talking one day in the class, and she was talking. she asked the class, she was from America, and she asked the class to explain why they are Americans. She said, I'm American. And she asked how many in the class was Americans. And finally, one of them raised her hand except one little girl named Christine. And Christine didn't raise her hand. And she said, could I ask you, Christine, why you're not proud to be American? She said, because I'm not American. She said, you're not American? She knew she was born in America. No. She said, I'm a proud Canadian. And she said, well, could you tell this class, sarcastically, can you tell this class why you're a proud Canadian? She said, well, I reckon it's because my mother and daddy were Canadians. And she said, well, let me ask you a question, Christine. And she still knew she was born in America, but she claimed to be a Canadian. She thought she'd been, you know, kind of wise. She said, let me ask you a question. Suppose your mother and daddy were a moron. What would that make you? She said, I guess America. But anyhow, I want you to look with me this thought, ladies and gentlemen. David said, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Samuel said, at a time you'll cry out. There come a time to Israel because they wanted a king. You're going to cry out, but I'm not going to hear your cry. And then Isaiah was told, iniquity and sin separates us from God. And God says, when that happens, if there's not a checkpoint on that, if they're not asking forgiveness of that, then he said, I'll hide my face, they'd not hear. Now, ladies and gentlemen, those verses are said to a nation and in situations that God has not just given it to Israel. If it was good for Israel or bad for Israel, it'd be good for us or bad for us, depending on how we react to it, because it's general how God says laws work as far as he's concerned with people and nations. Day by day in America, the lights of decency are going out. Amen. Just look around you. I'd be honest with you. I believe some of the old timers that lived 200 years ago would come back today, they'd be ashamed to go to Walmart just about. I'm saying to you, I know we live in a loose age, but ladies and gentlemen, listen, it is getting to the place now that just seems like everybody defies God about everything. So the prophet Isaiah warned that sin created a barrier between nation and its God, so that God would not hear their prayers. See that in Isaiah 59 and 1 Samuel chapter 8. Someone asked the question recently, if you could describe America in one word, how would you describe it? And I believe, really, if there's any one word that describes America, it's the word freedom. I believe that everything we see was fought for us to have freedom, even our forefathers years ago. And I have 3 points on where is America spiritual today. Number one, I want you to note with me in Isaiah 59. I'm going to stay there a little bit. Isaiah 59, don't you note the sin listed in Isaiah in the first verse 2 through 4. Notice he said in verse 2, but your iniquities have separated you between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that you might hear. Now watch in verse 3, for your hands are defiled with blood. Now ladies and gentlemen, I know that most times we think about this as murder. We think about this as someone who kills someone else, and then some people look at it as being wars. But let me tell you something. If there's one thing that I believe that God's going to judge this nation over, is the killing of little babies in mother's wombs. Amen. Now, that is what we're talking about in the sense defile with blood. Bloody hands, he talks about that. America has bloody hands by killing unborn babies. Since the decision of Roe and Wade, since 1973, one statistic I read recently states that America is killing up to 4,000 babies a day now. 4,000. That's bloody hands. And that is something I understand. And I think about that every time I see. Who knows that maybe a next president, if God don't come back for the church, may be there. Who knows that somebody might be someone who could have found cure for cancer. Who knows that when you take a life that's a potential for them beforehand, what could be done in this world that has to offer and what they could do in God's hands. I'm going to tell you, our nation has bloody hands this morning. Amen. They can say what they want to about that. Notice another thing he said, lying lips in verse 3. He said also that your lips have spoken lies. Your tongues have muttered pervertness. America is suffering from a decline of just plain old honesty. You see what Jesus said if you look in Matthew chapter 5. And here's what Jesus said down about verse in Matthew chapter 5 verse 37. He's talking, he said, but let your talking to each other be, watch, yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than that cometh of evil. In other words, there come a time that you can't say yes, yes, or no, no, don't say anything, because anything come out but because of evil. It's an amazing thing. The ninth commandment said, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That's in good old Johnson County language, thou shalt not lie. And what it means is that God says, do not lie. He says he hates a liar. And we see that given to us all the time from a national standpoint in our day. You don't know who to trust. Notice another thing in verse 4, he said they have wicked hearts. He said, none calleth for justice, nor pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. In other words, they have wicked hearts. Today, our society tells us that if public approval validates wrong behavior, it's okay. Because society has said it's okay. No, it's not. Society says it's okay, okay, oh, it wants to, but when God says something is wrong and a sin, it'll be a sin to Jesus, to the end of eternity. And there won't be no end of eternity, so it'll be a sin all the time. What I'm saying is that God doesn't change because we may try to bring him to our level. This is not what God says, that that which is sin will be okay. So note the sins listed in Isaiah's day are some of the very sins, if not worse, multiplied than we have in our own day. The second thing I want you to know, notice what caused these conditions. Verse 5, he said, they hatch cockatrice eggs, and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and they which crush breaketh out into a viper. Here's an interesting thing, because he's using the cockatrice eggs, of a snake. That's just another word for snake eggs. And the spider web, they're hung in a spot. They eat that which destroys, and they're caught in the trap, and seem to can't get out, and they can't get out themselves because of the way the spider look at a web for its prey, you know. We have a plague of deception today. Lies and philosophies hatch out of materialism and humanism and the New Ageism and liberalism, which these have deceived many to doubt God's way. I am amazed that the people today will know what the Bible says but doubt it, or know what the Bible says but it don't mean for our age. I'm amazed at people. I know my grandma was right on this Bible, but I just don't see things in day like they did in that day, because they want it changed due to our lifestyle. We have a web of wickedness around us, he tells us in verse 9. Watch, he said, therefore is judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity; for brightness, but we walk in darkness. There's pornography. This web of us today, pornography, drugs, alcohol, immorality, and we could go on for the sake of time. All of that's around us. By the way, it floods us everywhere we go. I'll tell you, you can't, if you don't put some blinds on, you can't, used to you might could say, well, I just won't get in that air. But if you don't put some blinds on, it floods you every way you turn today because of evil in this world. Evil has personified itself in a way that it's never seen before. And so we have a web of wickedness all around us. And then notice the thing in verse 12. He talks about how truth is trash. He said, for our transgressions are multitude before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us. As for our iniquities, we know them. If you go to look in Numbers chapter 32, verse 23, I'm amazed that even back in that day, here's what God said as he was talking to Israel and Reuben. Reuben, they fixed to go into the land. They had to fight for the land. And Reuben's going to settle right outside on one side of Jordan. And they weren't going to go in and fight. And God said, no, yes, you are. You're not going to get your land without the rest of Israel getting theirs. And if you look at the story, go through here. He said, and go all, in verse 21, and we'll go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord until he had driven his enemies out before him. And the land shall be, subdued before the Lord. Then afterward you shall return and be guiltless before me, the Lord, and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession. You can't get it until everybody gets it. He said, you're going to go and fight for them. And notice this. He said in verse 23, but if ye will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord. And notice, when you sin against the Lord in any form or fashion, notice, he said, and be sure your sin will find you out. You see that? So he said, no matter where we're at, it will come out somewhere or another, because God must manifest who he is and therefore show us how much we need him to help us in this particular life. So we have the trashing of truth. There is a blockage in the street, we saw that Wednesday night, of life because of judgment. He tells us that in down in verse in Isaiah chapter 59, you remember in verse 14, and judgment is turned away backwards, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. And I won't get into that because we got into it good when this coming Wednesday night. What he's saying, though, there's a blockage in the street of light. It comes because of judgment, and justice and equity cannot enter in because truth has fallen in the street. Truth has fallen in America today. You see it all the time. There's probably more lying in courts than there is truth today, because people try to win their case. Error is filling the void. And of course, in Numbers 32, verse 23, he said, be sure your sin will find you out. So where is America spiritual today? Number three, I pray that God will help us dedicate ourselves to the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, if we don't dedicate ourselves to the truth, we're all wrong. We got to have a heart's desire to dedicate ourselves to the truth. Now, why do I know that? Because of the scriptures. The only way to defeat deception, the only way to defeat wickedness is through the truth. Amen. Know what God says about truth. And I'm not going to the government to see what they say about truth, but I want to find just a few, this is just a few verses I copied down that God said about truth. He says in Ephesians 1:13, God refers to the Bible as the word of truth. You got one with you? You got one with you? That's God's word. He refers to this as his word of truth. In John 14:17, the Holy Spirit is referred as to the Spirit of truth. In John 14:6, Jesus declared himself to be he is the way, the truth, and the life. Again, we see in 1 Timothy 3:15, he says the church is called the pillar and the ground of truth. In 3 John 1:4, the Apostle John said, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. And I'd say this as a pastor, I don't know a thing pleasing me any better in my life. Here's someone who was saved in this church, or had a chance to baptize in this church, and now they move somewhere else, and they're in church serving God, and they're following God through truth, which is the Word of God. There's nothing in this world I'd rather hear that than that someone was a multimillionaire. Because you can't take truth away. And money can slip through your hand just like that. And I know what John, I know as a pastor after 54 years what that means when John said that. Maybe not like John, but I certainly know what it means when he said that. In 1 Timothy 3:15, again, the church is the pillar and ground of truth. The only way to defeat deception and wickedness is through truth. Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. If I'm going to find truth, I find it in this book. And if I find it in this book, then I'll find how truth should be dealt with in this life. And it will work if it's dealt with God behind it, because he stands behind it. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23 said, buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom and instructions and understanding. You have to buy that, because these are things that will stand and help us. In John chapter 8, verse 32, he said, and you shall know, Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. No wonder Satan fights so much nowadays. The world seems to think if they can just beat everything, even if you have to tell a lie, if they win by telling a lie, that's acceptable in our day. You hear people say, well, little white lies don't matter. Well, little white lies become big black lies before it's over with. Amen? Lying is lying. And God said he hated it. And sometimes we may do it ignorantly. But when it's done intentionally, then that's a terrible thing. And that's his wrath as far as nations are concerned. But based upon biblical truth, hear me, God, I love this country. I thank God for it. He's offered me so much for you to be a preacher of the gospel. If I'd been in some lands, I couldn't do it. But listen to me, based on biblical truth, America is far from God today. It's weak. It's a weak amen. God knows it so. You won't walk in this book without him showing you the nation he raised up and dealt with in 200 and something years now to to be an outlet for this world like he has, and see what's happening that's trying to shut that today. It'll grieve your heart, and you know God's heart is grieved. You know his heart is grieved, because that way you turn, everything that God set forth that would be a blessing and decency has been destroyed today by human beings. God made us free, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you, America was not built upon fear. America was built upon courage and imagination and determination by using our freedom to do the job at hand the right way that God said, do it. And he will move his hands off, and he will give us what we want, even if we don't want him. You know, let somebody rise up who won't have his standards, if that's what America wants. And by the way, when we vote someone in office, now this is not political, it's biblical. I'm saying the same thing that God told Samuel about Israel. We put someone there who's not for God, then that's our fault. And he said, I'll give you what you ask for. But keep in mind, your sins will find you out. They will come home to you before it's over with. So therefore, we're free because God has brought us that way and give people that which is needed to sacrifice everything they had that we could have this freedom. Our forefathers knew people had needs. And they knew those needs that they had, even before the government could do anything, God had to supply them because they couldn't go nowhere else when settled in this country. People have needs, and they knew that. And I find this as I think about it. People have needs to believe that life has a purpose. People have a need for a sense of community and deeper relationships with each other than what we're seeing today. We're on an island by ourselves and about trying to get ahead in this life. People have needs to be appreciated and respected as a human being. People have needs to be listened to and heard. People have needs to feel that one can grow in faith and grace and knowledge of the Lord without any rebuttal whatsoever. People have needs for practical help in developing a mature faith. People have needs to know the true living God of the Bible. You say, well, we don't care if you do. Don't change it then. Because once you change it, you're changing who God is. God has a right to inspire and give us a word. Why would we want to change something he's given us? And he's given us the Holy Spirit for saved. Because if you're not saved, you're not going to understand it anyhow. Anybody who's not saved, never going to understand this book. Because you can't understand it by the things that we need to. Oh, you can read the historical records. You can write stuff out. You might even write a book, you know, on the history of Jesus, like one fellow did. I won't call his name. O'Reilly, in case you don't know. And what I'm saying to you, but it don't have any spiritual thing about it or whatsoever. God is a spirit. And he's the God of world he's taken us to through the Lord Jesus Christ. In our past history, our nation has allowed God's church to help meet these needs. There has been protection of that God's church could help meet these needs. God's church is not a government. It don't make a government, but it's inside, it's the conscience of the government to help people meet these needs. Because we're in the image of God in a lost condition, we have needs, and they have to be met. And all we can see is what happens. Most people who say want the government to meet those needs, and they can never meet all the needs we need. Ladies and gentlemen, they may give me three meals a day, but they can't save my soul. They might help me out a little bit, Social Security, but they won't give me a ticket to heaven. Can't do that. And God sets forth these truths to us. But where is America spiritually today? Jesus said in John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So two things and quit. He said, you'll know the truth about salvation. It's in this book. Someone can read it right to you. You don't have to try to interpret, just read it, and God, the Holy Spirit, will do it. And in that salvation, there's no other way. Scripture says, to many as receive him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Jesus said that in John 1:12. We know also that he tells us there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. That's the truth. You don't find that anywhere else. We know whosoever is called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We know that if you confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I'm telling you, God has given us exactly what is needed to know how to be saved. And we have complied to that, And then the Holy Spirit moves in. The Holy Spirit will not enlighten us to hear that gospel message and draw us to the Lamb of God. And then the Holy Spirit moves in our heart. And when he comes in, he's the one who inspired this book to write. Or to write this book. Amen. When he comes in, he's the teacher of this book in grace. He won't do it though unless we study it. So you and I who study this book, that means if this. If I'm studying like I should and I practice like I should, the world gets further from me. If I'm going to get close to God. And the further I get from the world, the more the world's going to hate me. Because, you see, what this book does in your life and my life, without saying a word, reveals the hidden sin of people's life because we're trying to live for God. And they say, well, you are, come on, go with me here and there. And you say, I can't go there. Come on, have this drink. I can't do that. My hands are not my hands no more. My feet are not my feet. I must be surrendered. There are some things I can do. And be all right. But those things I cannot do, I cannot do. Why? I'm not my own no more. How do I know that? Because this book is God's word. And he said, hide it in your heart that you might not sin against it. And ladies and gentlemen, what you do when this book is hid in your heart, the Holy Spirit will reveal things to you. And you have to say sometimes, I can't do that. I just can't do that. Well, why not? You religious, fanatical, that's all right. You wait, we stand before God one day. And they stand where we'll never stand. And that's the great white throne judgment. The only place we'll stand is the beam of seat of Christ. And he'll get pass out rewards based on how we served him. But they've got not only to stand at the great white throne judgment, they've got hell and the lake of fire ahead of them. Oh, preacher, there you go again. You can't preach a word without saying about that, can you? Ladies and gentlemen, my Savior and your Savior said more about hell than he did heaven. He must have been concerned, hadn't he? So this morning, I ask the question again about where's America at spiritually? Boy, we need to pray for. If you're here today, not saved, we have the freedom to preach the gospel. I beg you not to walk out unsaved. If you are saved, get in the book. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you so you can see the signs. I've got off of the thing now. I've heard wars and rumor wars of sign of the age. I'm off of that now because that's so old. It's been said for years and people laugh at it. They'll say, we always had wars and rumors of wars. Well, I know we see it more now today than ever before, but I'm saying there's something hid that God has given a mystery now that's showing us the age more so than just wars and rumors of wars. And he wants his people to see it. And it's been hid. It's called the mystery of iniquity. And it's been hid. But God saved us from that, if you'll say. Would you stand to your feet, please? My Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this precious book. Dear God, it amazes me. The more that the book is preached, the less quieter we get. And the more the world almost gnashes their teeth at us. You look at most news programs, you see people get upset a lot more than what we do. Almost like Stephen in the book of Acts, when he preached to those Jews about how they had handled Christ and who he was, and they ran upon him, gnashing their teeth at him in such an anger, they stoned him. And Jesus stood out of the balance of heaven, and Stephen looked up, drawing his last breath before he even met the Lord and saw him waiting for him. My Father, I'd rather have that, even if it meant death, than just have to stand one day and realize, things were changed because of the way things in society was. And we didn't take the stand we should take. Holy Spirit, please honor the Lord Jesus Christ today. And again, dear Father, we together come and pray for our nation. Please help us get back to the point of where when God said something about life, it was real. Help our Supreme Court when these things are going, they can't even stay up so many things today that are just anti-Bible and anti-God. And I know when I come to you and pray that, there's people who say, well, we pray to God too. You don't have monopoly on God. No, I know we don't, Lord. But we do believe the biblical record of how we come to you It's how we come to you. And we believe just as much so as you say those who reject you, that one of these days you're going to give them what they want. We believe those who receive you and believe you, you're going to give us what you said we needed to help us in that hour. And that'll be better than anything we wanted in the long run. Please bless everybody that's here today. Dear Father, I'll let you see in our heart what you can. You can see when we say this, this is not some foolish thing or some just trying to sound religious. We thank you for what you've done through your word in our heart to know who you really are and what you're trying to do. Please help someone that's not saved who hears on radio in a few minutes or hears on Ustream or be in this auditorium or in one of these churches going on now is not saved. Please help them see how your heart longs and cries, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. And in this world of heartache and trouble we're passing through, we can have a peace of God. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.